for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, December the 29th, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on overcoming anger, unforgiveness, leading to bitterness.
I surrender. means everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Lord has done great things here. And it's not over yet. There's still great things that are going to happen. I expect it. I expect great things. But thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Okay, Jerry, come and bless us. Come and bless us.
When Merrill was exhorting you to forgive, he didn't know that God had told me to teach on how to overcome anger and unforgiveness. Amen? I feel like most of you probably really want to forgive, but you say the words, but tomorrow, the next day, 2 weeks later, you're still grumbling in your head about them. You ever do that? Or am I the only one? The Lord's taught me how to forgive, and I'm thankful. But the title of this message is Overcoming Anger and Unforgiveness, and of course it ties in with bitterness, because if you're angry and you let the sun go down on it, then it's unforgiveness, and then it becomes bitterness. And if you don't deal with these negative emotions, eventually, at some point in your life, they'll work out in your body as physical sickness. Because behind sickness, there's always an area you need to get forgiven, or you need to forgive someone else. Because in Matthew 18, it says when you don't forgive, God says, I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors, which means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. An inquisitor is a jailer that stretches someone out of a rack and tortures them till they get what they want. Well, they do this in the occult all the time. They have inquisitors. And so for us to live overcoming lives, we cannot allow anger or bitterness or unforgiveness or even depression or discouragement. These are things that have to be overcome. And Deborah is a doctor, and she shakes her head. She knows that all these negative emotions make you sick. And so usually when we get sick, we run to the doctor instead of running to Dr. Jesus and asking, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? What am I in need of repenting of? And I'm so thankful that by God's grace, He's taught me not to allow these things in my life. If I have a thought of fear or a thought of anger or a thought of unforgiveness, I say, okay, Lord, show me how that got there and show me how to get rid of it. And don't allow those things in your life. If you allow bitterness in your life, I know some people that live in worry and fear and negativity, and you can just see it in their face. I mean, they may be 50 years old and look like they're 70 years old. And so sin takes a toll on us. And so we have to forgive. And so Jesus said the whole law is fulfilled when you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your body, and your neighbor as yourself. And He said the whole law is fulfilled. All the Old Testament law is fulfilled in that one statement, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And in fact, a ruler came to Jesus once, and he asked how he might enter heaven. And Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your body, and your neighbor as yourself. And He said, do this, and you will have eternal life. That's what the Word says. Because when we don't love God with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, our body, and our neighbor as ourselves, we break God's covenant. The new covenant is kept through walking in love. The old covenant was kept through the letter of the law. And we keep covenant with God now through walking in love. And that's one of the quickest ways to get sick is to not walk in love. And so God wants us to walk in love. In James 1, verse 19, it says, this you know, beloved, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We're all guilty of those things. Quick to speak, quick to anger, slow to hear. You know, Jesus said all over the New Testament, He said, to him who has ears, let him hear. Well, they all had physical ears, but they didn't all have ears to hear. I have a kennel, and I have people that come and buy puppies from me, and you can tell them the directions And it just amazes me. People do not have ears to hear. You can say, pull off of, when you get off of I-20, immediately turn right and stop right there and call me, and I will lead you the rest of the way to my house. Otherwise, you'll get lost. What they'll do is they go zip right by that, and they'll end up in Timbuktu, and I don't even know where they are. I'm thinking, I'm just amazed. And I haven't had ears to hear, but I'm straining my ears now to hear what God has to say to me, because He is so smart. He has an answer for all of your problems. And so if you have any sickness in your body, examine who have you not forgiven. You know, a lot of times upper respiratory things have to do with the words we speak. You know, if I start feeling something coming to me, I say, okay, Lord, what I do? And I start repenting, and then it just goes that direction. And the fear of God comes on me when I start feeling like, oh, I might be getting a cold. And I thank the Lord because of repentance. I couldn't tell you the last time that I had a cold. But I don't allow those kind of things in my life. If I feel angry, or sometimes you can just feel bothered by something somebody's doing or saying. And usually I'm bothered because I did the very same thing. Can any of you relate to that? I mean, it's like when you're bothered, a lot of times you're bothered because God's trying to let your rooster crow and remind you of something you said or did yourself. And then it says in James 1, verse 20, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. He said, be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Why is that? Because the righteousness of God is to walk in love. Because love fulfills the commandment, is to walk in love. A lot of times people that have cancer, it's because of bitterness in their life. I know a friend of mine has been ministering to a lady that's got cancer of the mouth, cancer of the throat, and she said she's constantly spewing out bitterness from her mouth. And she will tell the lady to repent, and the lady said, well, I haven't done anything. It's not taking accountability. You know, are you a person, how many of you know people that when they do something, instead of taking accountability, they'll blame somebody else for it? Do you know people like that? Oh, God, help us. Help us not to be that way. So anger breaks God's law of love. Anger is idolatry. In Deuteronomy 32, it talks about Jezreel, which is God's people. It says they grew fat and kicked, means their heart became so hard they couldn't hear God, and they produced from the flesh. And that's been something we've all done in our lifetime, because we've been taught the Lord helps those that help themselves. And so we all are all prone to do things in our flesh, especially if you grew up without a daddy or mother and you had to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And you could even have a mother and daddy like I did, and boy, they would hang in there and let the front end drag. They were kind of like Meryl's mom and dad. I mean, they were people that, because they were so, well, they just, you know, my dad and mom said the Lord helps those that help themselves. Well, that's people that hang in there and let the front end drag kind of people, right? And that's a weakness of all of our flesh. But it says in Deuteronomy 32 that Jezreel grew fat and kicked. It means that he produced from the flesh, and then he began to worship gods. And because he worshiped false gods, then God gets angry, and then he provokes them to jealousy and anger and fear. And you see the progression of things that God sins because of idolatry. And so anger is idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and anger and unforgiveness is rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. You know, when you have an idol, if you don't have it, you fear you won't get it. If you have it, you fear you'll lose it. If you don't get it, you get angry because you don't get it. And we get angry because other people don't feel about our gods as the way we do. For example, if I have a false god of, you've got to love me, you've got to accept me, you've got to listen to me, you've got to see how wonderful I am, you've got to, and you don't do it, then a person gets angry if it's an idol. But we have to let go of those things in order to find our life. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll find it. And so you can detect your idols by what makes you angry, what makes you fearful, what depresses you. And you know, and all those things are rebellion, which is witchcraft. Anger opens the door to unforgiveness, and then unforgiveness opens the door to bitterness, and then bitterness makes you sick. And I said this last night, but there's been someone that said that bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. It hurts you and only you. The other day, I was trying to encourage somebody that she has all kinds of demons manifesting in her house, and she thinks they're people. I tried to tell her that you bring an abomination into your house, and you come under the curse. And she said, and I also fussed about all of her demonic videos that she's got in her house and things that are bringing demonic spirits. And she said, I'm just going to go get a glass of wine and watch a Stephen King movie. How do you like that? I said, you're not hurting me a bit. You're the one that's going to suffer for that. You know, you put trash in your body and wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Whatever you're planning. In fact, I know the Lord is going to lead me to do a message, and it's kind of like on the law of sowing and reaping. What are you storing up in your heart? Because listening to things, watching things, you're storing up wrath for yourself for the day of judgment. You're storing treasure in your heart that's going to manifest in negative ways and cause all kind of maladies in your life. In Deuteronomy 32, it says, they made me jealous with what is not God. They provoked me to anger with their idols, and so I'm going to provoke them to jealousy with those who are not a people, and those who are not a people are demons, and I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, and that's a type and shadow of demons. And so, you know, we allow anger. We just think, well, that's just kind of the way we are. And I've heard people say, well, everybody has a little anger. But anger is one of the sins that if you practice, it'll lead you to hell. It's one of the deeds of the flesh listed in Galatians 5:19. It says, if you practice such things, if that's your habit or custom to be an angry person, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. So we cannot put up with anger in our life, not for a minute. There's always a reason why you're getting angry, and you have to detect it in order to overcome it. I've shared this before, but I remember for years my husband, every time I would turn the thermostat, I would switch it from hot to cold to hot. Instead of going hot, stop, cold, stop, hot, I'd just switch it back and forth. And he'd rag on me and fuss at me. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And then in about 1993 or 1994, he fussed at me when I did that, and I started screaming, don't you ever! Why didn't this happen 20 years ago? Don't you ever fuss at me about that again. And I went in the other room, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's not like me. Why'd I get so angry? And when I was growing up, if you went to the thermostat on my daddy's thermostat, you'd go at the thermostat, and my daddy would be right there standing over you. And see, I let the sun go down on that and didn't even know that. Well, why didn't God let that happen? Why didn't God show me that 20 years before? Because that wasn't the day of deliverance. The day of deliverance was that last day. And then I apologized to my husband for screaming at him. Because I'm not a screamer anymore. Got delivered from that. But that's a button pusher thing. And so, you know, I think I'm going to teach on how to overcome fear, and or button pushers. I don't know which, because both of those messages, the one on button pushers, that's how I learned about button pushers, because I get my button pushed. And I'm so thankful that because of what God's taught me by His grace, I don't have button pushers anymore. If I start to get frustrated, the Lord says, calm down. And it's real easy for me to get into impatience, and I have to constantly be putting that down and putting it aside. And part of that was growing up with mother and daddy had a grocery store, they had a laundry, they had a gas company, they were always working, and I was always waiting for them. Always waiting. Mother was supposed to be coming to get me to school, and I'd say, Mother, where are you? That's me coming around the corner, she'd say. So 30 minutes later, Mother, come and get me. She should have spanked me for talking to her like that. God forgive me. Anyway, so because my whole life I had to wait for this, I had to wait for the company to close, I had to wait for Mom, we had a butcher shop, I had to wait till she cleaned the saw, I had to wait. Christmas, Daddy drove a propane gas truck, and we had to wait, that was his busy season, and so we'd have to wait till he came home so we could open the presents. So my whole life has been waiting, and guess what? Wherever I go, I have to wait. Because, you know, you're trained up to wait. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it till they deal with it. And I'm not sure I'm dealing with it good enough because I'm still waiting. But I'm working on it, okay? Like my little granddaughter and her thumb. Proverbs 12 says, a fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals or covers dishonor. And so you can see an anger in a person's face. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Well, understanding is the truth that sets me free. So if I'm slow to anger, I have great understanding because that I have the understanding of the truth that set me free. Proverbs 14:29. I already read that one, sorry. Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, the scripture says where there's selfish ambition and jealousy and is contention, and wherever there's contention and strife, there's every demonic work. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up anger, but he who's slow to anger calms a dispute. Proverbs 16:3, he who's slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit is better than him who captures a city. And so the way we rule our spirit is we don't allow anger in our life. We've got till sundown, Ephesians 4:20, I think it's 4:26 says, don't let the sun go down on your anger because you give the devil a foothold in your life. So he who's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than him who captures a city. That's pretty powerful. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's discretion, which means his wisdom, his knowledge, his prudence, his intelligence makes him slow to anger, and it's to his glory to conceal or cover over a transgression. You see, there has to be a letting go of those things before they ever start. Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great anger will bear the penalty. And, of course, the penalty is demonization. If you're an angry person, you're full of demons. You say, well, I don't believe in demons, and I don't believe I can have a demon. Well, do you ever get angry? Did you know that anger is attached to a hot wire that's attached to an idol? And so you have to dismantle those things if we're going to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you'll only have to do it again. Well, what does that mean? Have you ever lived with an angry person? I have. You try to appease them, and then they're angry, and so you try to appease them, and then you have to jump this high. And then if you appease them, you'll only have to do it again, and then you have to jump this high. And then if you appease them, you only have to do it again, and you have to keep, you can never please them. And so, if you rescue him, you'll only have to do it again, and again, and again, and again. It's time to take a stand for righteousness and speak the truth in love. Quit jumping. I used to jump, because I didn't want my husband to be mad at me. If he got mad at me, he'd be mad at me for a month. And you know what? It took a toll on his life. He died an early death. But I didn't want him to be mad at me for a month. I wanted to try to keep peace. And so I jumped. And finally, one day I quit jumping. I thought, you know what? This is going nowhere. I told you all this. One day he said to me, if I'd have known you, I'd have never married you. And I said, well, honey, I'd marry you all over again. And he went, you would? I said, yeah, where do you think I got all the material for this seminar? I got it from myself trying to overcome too. I mean, I'd say, okay, Lord, how do I handle this?
Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, "The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life." And that's just a picture of somebody that's full of anger, and they've got idols, and you try to resist it. And when you do, or you resist it, you forfeit your own life. In other words, you take your life in his own hands when you try to speak the truth and love to someone that is full of anger and full of idols. You forfeit your own life. In other words, you have to be willing to give up your own life that you might find it. And that's what happens, is that when you correct a fool, you're taking your life in your own hands because you're giving up your life to correct. And I don't mean doing it in meanness or in hatred or to fight or to quarrel. I mean to speak the truth in love. Some people that want to hang on to their stuff don't want to hear it, don't want to hear the truth if it's in love or however. And so we have to get healed so we can speak the truth in love. Because if we're not healed, we'll stir strife because we're full of wounds. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Don't associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, lest you become like him." Why would you become like him? Through a soul tie? Because associating means fellowship with him. The Bible says two people can't walk together unless they agree. You never see those that are born to walk in darkness. You never see them compromise with the righteous. You always see the righteous compromise. And when we compromise, we have a soul tie. And if we let somebody control us through their anger, then we become like them through control. And so that's why God says, stay away from an angry man. Don't associate with a man or woman that's given to anger, lest you become like him. Proverbs, well, what if you live with somebody like that? God will have to show you what to do. I'm not saying he's telling you to separate from them, but you might need to go in the other room and go in your prayer closet. Proverbs 25:24 says, "Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy?" There's another scripture that says a hot-tempered man, and I don't have the reference, a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions, because wherever I'm hot-tempered, I'm full of demons, full of sin, and full of demons. Proverbs 28:29 verse 8 says, "Scorners set a city aflame, but a wise man turns away anger." Now Jesus called the disciples. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For a city on a hill cannot be hidden." And so we're a city. Believers are city. He said, "So a scorner sets a whole city on aflame, but a wise man turns away anger." Proverbs 30, verse 3 says, "For the churning of milk produces." Like the churning of milk produces butter, and I don't know if y'all know this, but you can take heavy whipping cream and put it in a quart jar, put a lid on it and shake it, or beat it in a mixer and it'll turn to butter. You know, used to they had these old kind of churns like this, but you can. My mother used to make butter by just putting heavy cream in a quart jar and shaking it, and it turned into butter. It says, like the churning of milk produces butter, so the churning of anger and like the pressing of the nose produces blood, so the churning of anger produces strife. And so that could be one of the causes of nosebleed, is a churning of anger. And maybe especially a person that's suppressing their anger and they've got it churning around inside of them can cause nosebleeds. It can cause other things too, but I'm just thinking of someone that used to have nosebleeds, and I know that was the reason that she had them. Ecclesiastes 5:17 says, "A fool's vexation is known at once. He eats in darkness with great vexation, sickness, and anger." Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of a fool." You see where it's residing? It can cause heart problems, high blood pressure. Ecclesiastes 11:10 says, "So remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. So if there's pain in your body, it's coming from vexation. It would have to do with where the pain is. Vexation means grief, it means sorrow, it means hurt, provocation, and it means idolatry. And it's idolatry because you're not turning from those things. You know, if I don't turn to the Lord, I'm turning to idols. Ephesians 4 says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, lest you give the devil an opportunity. So wherever we have anger in our heart, we've given the devil an opportunity in our life. And where it says, be angry and sin not, what that means is, that's not giving you a license to be angry, but that's saying, you know, used to, my husband would say, well, are you angry? And I'd say, no. He'd say, well, you sure acting funny? No. You sure you're not angry? No. No, I'm not angry. It doesn't mean to deny that you're angry. It means to say, yes, I'm angry. Yes, I have a reason to be angry. You shouldn't do this again or whatever. But I love God enough that I'm not letting the sun go down on this. I will forgive you. And so it says, when you let the so you have till sundown to deal with it. I remember one time my husband and I got in a disagreement. We didn't fight all the time. It was the silent treatment. I don't know if you've experienced that. You live in a house and it's like you're divorced living under the same roof and it's the silent treatment. You don't fuss, you don't fight, it's just a silent treatment. And you're trying to go to bed and you hear they're still mad and you're hearing breathing hard. Sometimes I get in bed and I'm thinking, oh Lord, thank you that I'm in here by myself. Because it's like a pressure over the house. If you've ever experienced that, it's like a demon is hovering over the house. It is a demon. I'm not like a demon, it is a demon. I remember one time we had a disagreement. We had a two-story house, and he was sitting in his chair, and he was mad at me, and I wanted to go to bed, and I didn't dare go to bed with angry. So I was up there in my prayer room. I was up there in the bedroom waiting for him to say the sorry, and I don't think he ever did in 27 years, like a couple of times. And I said, Lord, why is it that I have to always be the person that says I'm sorry? And I said, this time it's his fault. And the Lord said, yeah, this time it's his fault, but you've got a pride problem. You just need to go down and say you're sorry. So I went downstairs because I wasn't going to go to bed without getting it right. I said, honey, would you please forgive me? No, I'm not going to forgive you. You just do this all over again. And then you find yourself getting mad all over again. And then one day the Lord said, you forgive, you do right, and if they have a fit, if he has a fit and falls in it and foams at the mouth, he's my problem, not yours. You just forgive. You choose to forgive. Anyway, just a few little scenes from my past. Oh, bless his heart, Lord. He was a person that was obsessed with everything being in order and neatness. And you couldn't move anything that he wasn't there. If you moved a chair, he was down there straightening the carpet. But you know what? God used that all for my life. He used all of that in my life to teach me. He knew that I needed to be disciplined because I didn't grow up with a lot of discipline. So God has to do it another way. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, which means outcry, and slander be put away from you with all malice, which means kind of like an acid malignity, badness and wickedness is what malice means. And one way that anger, and probably the only way, two ways, the sins of the fathers, and then through our parents, because the Bible says in Ephesians 6, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So wherever a parent violates the word of God in training you up, you have an automatic anger issue. It's an automatic button pusher. And so, and anger is one of the works of the flesh that will send you to hell. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then the scripture says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So if we're not walking in the Spirit, there is a law, and demons are the executors of the law. And we read this yesterday, but I'll just read it again. Now, the works of the flesh, and you can be repenting if this applies to you, the works of the flesh are these: adultery, that's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, to be morally, physically and morally impure, evil, vile, licentiousness, inclined toward lustful, lewd behavior, sexual arousal, inclined toward sexual interest, are expressed in lust or lewdness. Idolatry, the works of the flesh, all of that's idolatry. Witchcraft, which is sorcery, pharmakia. Hatred, which is the opposite of walking in love. Variance, being a quarreler. Emulations, jealousy, rivalry. Envy, wrath, which is anger. Seditions, which is rebellion against authority. Discontent, rebellious uprising. And there again, it's authority as unto the Lord, not authority of some demon. Heresies, holding to a form of demonic doctrines. Envy has to do with ill will, probably because of jealousy. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, to take delight in merrymaking. But I wanted you to see in that passage that wrath, which is anger, is a work of the flesh. And it goes on to say, and things like these, so any fleshly thing that would be the opposite of love, it says, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the word's not a one-time sin, but it's a practicing, a lifestyle, a habit, a custom. If somebody were to describe you, would they say that this describes you? In Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel brought a gift to God, and you know the story how God received Abel's gift and Cain's offering God rejected. And then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is to master you. So when our countenance falls and we get angry, and the devil is standing right there to master us. And that's why God gives us till sundown to repent and to forgive. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, it says, I say unto you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And of course, the righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees is not the letter of the law, but it's the love, to walk in love. You've heard it said, and you can turn on the first one. It's not working. You may have to use the little button. Jesus tells us to come unto Him because we labor and are heavy laden, and He'll give us rest. Take His yoke on us and learn from Him, for He is gentle and humble, and we will find rest for our soul, for His burden is light and our load is easy. Okay, the next one. When we're angry, we go in a spiritual prison. And if you're angry at 500 people, you're in 500 different prisons. And let's just read this here in Matthew 5. It says, you've heard it said and the told that you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder will be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother should be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, or you fool, or shall be guilty enough to go to the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, meaning you're not worth it, I wish I'd never married you, I wish you'd never been born, is guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. And that word in the Greek means the final place of punishment for the ungodly. So it's hell. This is another scripture confirming that anger will send you to hell. Matthew 5:22. Then if you are presenting your offering at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, You're to leave your offering there and go to your brother. First be reconciled to your brother and then bring your offering to the Lord. So that means when you go to pray, if you know that someone has ought against you, you're to go to them and get right with them and then come and pray. It says, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that he not turn you over to the judge. And of course, James says there's one lawgiver and one judge, and that's God. And the judge to the officer, and the officer is the demon spirit, demon power, and you be thrown into prison, and it's a spiritual prison. And you can't see this prison with a human eye, but it's a real place of bondage because of unforgiveness. It says, I say to you, you will not come out of there till you pay up the last cent. Until you forgive, you'll stay in that prison. Matthew 6:14, it says, for if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And this is from Jesus. But if you do not forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. So you could say unforgiveness is the sin that God won't forgive. Right? So we have to forgive. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said we have to forgive so that there be no advantage taken of us by Satan. And he goes on to say, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So you see, that's one of the devices of Satan, is to get us into unforgiveness because he's got us. This is one thing they do in satanic rituals, is they'll try to get a person that's being ritualized, or a little child that they're putting through a ritual, to get them so angry that they're holding unforgiveness, and they've got them for the rest of their life through unforgiveness. Anybody that you don't forgive, it's almost like they're hanging around your neck. And you'll be tortured and tormented the rest of your life until you forgive. Matthew 18, Peter came and said to the Lord, how often should I forgive? 70 times 7 times? And Jesus said 70 times 7. And then he goes on and tells a parable that Carla shared. I think she read the parable. But the parable was a king had two servants. One owed him about $10 million, and the other one owed about $18. And the Lord forgave the one that owed about $10 million. And gave him mercy and didn't put him and his wife in prison, because he had ordered that him and his family would, and everything he had would be put in a prison. And he asked for mercy, and the Lord gave him mercy. Then he goes out and finds someone that owes him $18 and says, pay up. And the man said, I don't have it. And so he didn't have mercy. He threw him in prison. So the Lord's servants heard this. They went and told the Lord on him, and he said, you wicked slave. After I forgave you all that debt, you mean you can't forgive someone for a lesser debt? And so he says, Peter, this is because you haven't forgiven, I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors, which are demons that afflict pain, the pain of disease, inquisitor. He says, and my heavenly Father will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. Well, the from the heart, that's a key word, from the heart. Is there's things that have been stored down in our heart, and it goes back to childhood issues, or goes back to generational stuff. And the way the Lord taught me to forgive is, I had lunch with someone one day, and we got in a disagreement, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, and the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. I can't believe she did this. And I said, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. And the Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. So I started forgiving my mother, forgiving my mother, forgiving my mother. And all of a sudden, my friend wasn't an issue anymore. You see, that was from the heart. She was pushing my mother buttons, and she was mirroring what I had not forgiven my mother for. So I've learned over the years that when something bothers me like that, is to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? And forgiving from the heart. And so, you know, if somebody, for example, say Deborah says, Jerry, forgive me for what I said to you yesterday. And I say, well, what did you say to me? Well, I didn't think nothing of it. See, that's not a hard issue. But if you say the words, I forgive, and forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a choice. I choose to forgive. I don't have to feel like it. I don't have to want to. I don't have to think it's fair. I don't have to think it's right. It's just that I choose to do it because God said do it, because I obey His word. So I choose to forgive. If I choose to forgive, and many of you have people in your life that you've said, Lord, I forgive them, but they're still ragging on your mind. There's still issues in your mind where you think, you know, I can't believe they did this. You're still arguing with them in your head. And you can say, I forgive, and maybe a day or two you don't think anything about it, but next week you're still ragging on them again. Or maybe a month later. It's a heart issue. If you say the words and it keeps coming back, you have to go to the heart. And it's usually generationally or it's mother and daddy issues. And so to forgive means that I'm sitting on my judge's bench and I get off of my judge's bench where I'm judging them and I walk over to God's courtroom and then He's sitting as king and judge over the whole universe and I'm going to take these people that I'm holding unforgiveness for and along with my mother and dad because they're the one that started it and these people are just pushing my buttons. And I'm going to put them in God's courtroom and I'm going to rest my case and I'm going to leave the case with God. And that's how you forgive. You just have to let it go. And before we pray here in a minute, I want you to detect what makes you angry. Say, I get angry when people don't love me. I get angry when people don't listen to me. I get angry when people are not on time. Ask the Lord to show you what makes you angry. Detect it. You first have to detect it. And this is the way that I let things go. You know, Abraham took Isaac up the mountain and let go of his son, his only son, which he loved very much. And so what I do, the things I love, the things I want, for example, if I feel like I'm not being loved, I just take it up the mountain. I say, Lord, I'm going like Abraham. If it glorify you the most for nobody in the world to love me, then so be it. The devil, you're bound. You cannot do it. Or say, whatever the issue is, whatever makes you mad, whatever pushes your button, the way you release it. Jesus said if you have to let go of your life that you might find it, you hold on to your life and you'll lose it. Now, you don't do that if there's no fear or there's no anger or there's no sin involved. You just have not because you ask not. Jesus said according to John 14:13-14, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And so if there's no fear, there's no anger, there's no idolatry, there's no sin, there's no hurt, then you just ask and you'll receive. But if there's anger or hurt or bitterness or rebellion or any kind of a work of the flesh rearing up, take it up the mountain and say, Lord, if this would bring you greater glory and honor for no one to ever love me, for me to walk alone, for me to be alone the rest of my life, for nobody to listen to me, for the whole world to reject me, Lord, if that would bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. But devil, you can't touch me in the name of Jesus. And when you release it like that, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. And you have to let it go. You have to let it go. You have to let go of your life that you might find it. And so let it go. Put it in God's courtroom. Rest the case because you see, God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You take all of your people that have hurt you, put them in God's courtroom, and leave vengeance to God because of how they do, the law of sowing and reaping will catch them more, later, and the same thing. So that's how you can leave vengeance to God because the law of sowing and reaping will catch them. Now you're not doing that because you want them to get caught. You're doing that because God said to do it. But that's what forgiveness means, to transfer one case from your courtroom to God's courtroom. And the heart issues are the things that what's happening in the present are pushing those mother, daddy buttons and things from the past. So ask the Holy, stand up and ask the Holy Spirit, you have to detect what is it that makes you angry and the people that have made you angry. Lord, search my heart and test my thoughts. Let me know the truth that sets me free. Is there anyone I have not forgiven? And Lord, would you please, by your power of your Holy Spirit, show me what makes me angry? Because I want to overcome this, Lord. Let me say this too. It works with hurt. I remember, before y'all pray, I remember we used to have retreats, and my mom and dad came on a retreat, and they didn't like what the speaker said, so they packed up and they left. They didn't like the doctrine that was going on at that camp. Anyway, a month later, I went to my little sister. My little sister's husband was pastor in San Antonio, and she had a ladies' retreat. And I'm telling you, my mom went on about how great that was. Oh, she was just, it was just the most wonderful thing she'd ever gone to. And I just felt hurt coming at me. And I said, Lord, if that'd glorify you the most for she never to approve of me, then so be it. And the hurt just went like that. But you have to mean it. You have to let go of it. And you know what? If you're living for yourself, it's hard to do. But if your life is to live for the glory of God, that's a prayer God's going to answer. Lord, if that would glorify you the most, so be it. It was the same with David. My grandson was going in the Marines, and it grieved me so bad. And it was, you know, it's an honorable thing to want to be in the Marines. But I know the Lord had called him to the ministry. He didn't know it yet, but I knew it. And so I grieved for a month or two. Oh, Lord, you know, it just bothered me. And one day I said, Lord, if it would bring you greater glory and honor to put David in the Marines, sign him up in Jesus' name. But devil, you can't put him there. And you know, he tore something in his knee and that ended his military career. And I didn't pray anything would happen to him. And now, Nikki was here a few months ago, and Nikki was here, and Nikki said, so the Lord's called you into the ministry. He hadn't even told me yet, but Nikki, God told Nikki, and he confirmed it through Nikki. So just let go of your life, because if you're living for the glory of God, this is the confidence you can have toward him. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you, and if he hears you, you already have what you ask for. And you know, I'm going to share this too. When my son was, after my son died of AIDS, I had a sinus infection that lasted past a year. And my mother and daddy said, you better go get an AIDS test. And so I was in the shower, and the fear of AIDS came on me. And I said, Lord, I don't think I could be as brave as Todd, but I live for your glory and I live for your honor. And Lord, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for me to have AIDS, then let me have AIDS. But devil, you can't give it to me. In Jesus' name, the next day I had an AIDS test. There was not one fear before I had that test. You see, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. It's just letting go of it. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show me what makes me angry. Because, Lord, I don't want that demon anymore. I don't want to be tormented anymore. And I ask you to show me every person that I need to forgive. Ones I've even said that I've forgiven, but I haven't. And Lord, anything that makes me angry, help me detect the anger so I can detect the idol behind the anger. And then just deal with whatever the Lord shows you, and then sit down and we'll pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being slow to hear. Forgive me for being quick to speak. Forgive me for being quick to anger. Forgive me for breaking your law of love, breaking covenant with you. Forgive me for idolatry. God, forgive me for unforgiveness. Forgive me for making you jealous with my idols. Forgive me for being a fool. Forgive me for being quick to get angry, exalting folly. Pray with me. Lord, forgive me for not turning away anger. forgive me for being hot-tempered, stirring up strife, and not calming disputes. Father, forgive me for not ruling my spirit. Forgive me for not having wisdom, knowledge, prudence, and intelligence to turn away anger. God, forgive me for being a person of great anger, and I bore the penalty. God, forgive me for wasting time trying to appease somebody that's angry. Forgive me for associating with an angry person. Forgive me for being that angry person. God, forgive me for not being willing to give up my life in correcting somebody that has idols and is full of anger. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for wrath, jealousy, being a scorner. Forgive me for allowing anger to turn around in me, which produces strife. God, forgive me for being a fool, eating in darkness with great vexation, sickness, and anger. God, forgive me for allowing anger to reside in my bosom. And Lord, I pray that if I've got heart problems, it's been because of anger. I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I choose to remove vexation, grief, and anger from my heart so I can put pain out of my body. Forgive me for being angry and sinning. Forgive me for denying that I'm angry instead of taking accountability for it. Forgive me for all the times in my life I've let the sun go down on my anger. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for bitterness and wrath and clamor and outcry. Forgive me, Lord, for acid, malignity, badness, wickedness. God, forgive me for, I forgive my mother and father for provoking me to anger. And Lord, I didn't know I could go to you, so I turned to promises I made to myself. And those promises are the very things that I get angry about when people violate my rules or don't love my idol as much as I do. God, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents for not training me up in the way I should go. Forgive me for practicing the deeds of the flesh, not being led by your spirit. Forgive me for adultery, fornication, uncleanness, being morally impure, physically impure, vile. Forgive me for lasciviousness. Forgive me for being inclined toward lewd, wanton, lustful behavior. Forgive me for being consumed by sexual desires, sexual interests that have manifested themselves in lust and lewdness. Forgive me for idolatry, witchcraft, sorcery, pharmakia, hatred, variance. Forgive me for being a quarreler. Lord, forgive me for emulations, jealousy, and rivalry. Forgive me for wrath and strife and seditions. Forgive me for discontentment, rebellion toward authority as unto the Lord. Forgive me for holding to demonic doctrines. God, forgive me in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for envyings, ill will, jealousy, murder, murdering people with my mouth. God, in Jesus' name, vileness, revelings, delighting in merrymaking. God, forgive me for allowing sin to master me. Forgive me that my righteousness has not surpassed the deeds of the Pharisees. Forgive me for not making friends quickly with my opponent at law. Forgive me for calling people a fool. You're not worth it. You're good for nothing. God, forgive me. Lord, I forgive every person you've shown me. I forgive my mother and dad for doing the same thing to me. Forgive me for letting Satan take advantage of me. And Lord, I've been tormented, turned over to the tormentors, because Lord, you forgave a great debt for me. And when I don't forgive someone else, it's like you forgive $1 million debt and I hold unforgiveness towards someone that owes me $18. That's kind of foolish, and I ask you to forgive me. Now, Lord, I get off my judge's bench.
I take every person that has hurt me by the hand, and my mother and daddy who started all of this. These people have done the same thing to me that mom and dad did. You know, I found, and there's exceptions, but I can tell you, if my mother and daddy didn't hurt me in an area, then you can't hurt me in that area. It's always the areas where I was first back in a heart issue. So, Lord, I take in Jesus' name, I take everybody that's hurt me by the hand, I get off of my judge's bench, I take, in the name of Jesus, I take mother and daddy with them, my forefathers with them, and Lord, I put them in your courtroom. You're the great judge of the universe, and Lord, I put them in your courtroom. You be the judge. I close the door. I rest my case. I let go of my life, and Lord, I leave vengeance to you, and Lord, I thank you that the law of sowing and reaping at some time or another will catch them. But Lord, that's not why I forgave them. I forgave them because I need forgiveness in Jesus' name. And I thank you, mighty God, that you're a healing God in Jesus' name. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Every demonic power that came in now through unforgiveness, through bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, go now. All fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, hatred, malice, malignity, go. All malignancies in their bodies, go. Cancer, leave their body. In Jesus' name, heart attacks, heart failure, go. Tormentors, demons that have inflicted pain, the pain of disease, come out. Pain, leave their bodies. In Jesus' name, I break the power of anger and wrath and vexation, hurt, provocation, idolatry, go. In Jesus' name, depression, discouragement, you have to leave. I command hysteria, panic, go. In Jesus' name, I command in the name of Jesus, all spirits of lies, lying, unbelief, doubt, all lies that God's the same way, I break your power. Root of bitterness, I tear you out in Jesus' name. I rip you from every life in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit that lies to them and tells them that God doesn't care, go. In Jesus' name, all spirits of revenge, I break the vows that I will never forgive. I break those vows in Jesus' name. I will never forgive. Come out now in Jesus' name. I will forgive, but I won't forget. You come out in Jesus' name. I break your power. Rebellion, antichrist, religious spirits, go now in Jesus' name. Heaviness, go in the name of Jesus. Self-pity, martyrdom, victim spirit, go in Jesus' name. I break the power of victimization in the name of Jesus. All spirits of unrest has to go. Sorcery, pharmakia has to leave now in Jesus' name. I break the power of murder, go in Jesus' name. Murdering spirits, judgmental, reviling, go in Jesus' name. Homosexuality, I command you to go. Adultery, fornication, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, addictions, I break all addictions. I break the power of pain over every life. In Jesus' name, go in Jesus' name. All plottings to do evil, all plottings to get back, I break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. The spirit of pride, Leviathan, you come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power. All spirits that came in through child abuse, all spirits that came in through molestation, you leave now in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Nikki, sing. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in Your presence daily live. And Lord, if it would bring, I take all of my idols up the mountain. And Lord, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for this to happen or not to happen, so be it. But devil, you can't touch my life. How dare you think that because I'm in God's hands that you can even touch me. In Jesus' name, bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before.
with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, but God loves you more. Lord, we bless the food. We bless Patty and everybody that's helped her in the kitchen, Lord. Strengthen them with might. Lord, let refreshment come upon them. Father, I thank you and praise you for this camp. We thank you and praise you for Merrill, Lord. We ask you to bless him and Barbara. We ask you, Lord, to give him a holy angelic escort all the way home. Lord, we just glorify you. We honor you. We thank you for the food. Thank you for another day of food in America. Oh, God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. And we ask you to bless it, purify, and sanctify it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.